we give the Lord all the glory. We give him all the honor and all the adoration. We thank him for his mercy and grace. They are new every morning. That's the word of the Lord. New every morning. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that we are here today, everything that we have become, for the washing by the water of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the time that we live in. It is such a peculiar time. Thank you, Jesus, for our brothers, for our sisters, for the family that loves us, and for this big family of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the shepherds around us. And thank you for your promise, because we know that you fulfill them already. We're simply yet to see them. But even when you said those promises, you already did them. And we ask this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would speak to our heart, that we would read from the scriptures that which you have for us, not as dull ones with itching ears, but that we would learn and would be joyful in our heart how that you have come to save us, to help us, to make us grow. Amen. God bless you all, saints of God. It is yet another time. It's been a while since I've been able to speak to you all, but I'm grateful to the Lord for sparing my life and for making me available at this time to speak to the people that is called of God. I was wondering what I would talk about, and I was asking or thinking within my heart what the Lord would want me to talk about today. Then I struck me, which is Jesus wept. And so I would like to speak on the title Jesus Wept, maybe throughout this week. Maybe that's what we'll just expound on and keep talking about that. We'll read a lot of scriptures, and I hope that we would follow as we read, and you will bear with me as we go on. I'd like to read from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 35 to 37, I believe. Yes. 35 says, Jesus wept. I think it's a popular verse. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? How he loved him. When they saw him wept, it was a clear sign that there is an affection towards Lazarus, because that's part is speaking about Lazarus. There was an affection towards Lazarus, and they could see his tears come out. It wasn't a case of it was weeping and there was no tears. No, he wept and there were tears coming out of his eyes. That's how they could know that he wept. And they felt, wow, so much love for Lazarus from Jesus. But he opened the eyes of the blind. This is a large compassion we are seeing here. But why did he not stop this man from dying? So that's where we're going. We'll go back to John chapter 9, where he opened the eyes of the blind, which will be our subtopic this morning, the blind. Jesus wept. He wept for who? He wept for the blind. Chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Underline that. This is not something quite usual for someone to be born blind. There could be several reasons why that is. It might be a case where there is no high in the high socket, which means the man doesn't have any highs at all. It could also be a case where the highs is just there, no liquid. It's just as useless. Our highs contains liquid. It's just useless. Total dry. So it's a gone case. It's not when you hear that someone was born blind and was healed. That's a peculiar case that draws a lot of attention, because it's not a case where the person was could see before, but maybe something happened and he became blind. And people could say, okay, maybe a reversal of procedure, right? But here it's different. This man couldn't see before. He had no high in his eye socket. I would say that. We also know in the life of Brother Branham as well, there was a case like that, which kind of struck the entire auditorium because it wasn't expected. Someone doesn't have an eye socket at all and just having a brand new eyes. So they could take Jesus healing the sick. They could take Jesus healing the blind. They could take Jesus healing the lame, right? But blind from birth? Oh, no. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? Is it this man or his parents that he was born blind?" This is such a difficult situation. Who could have been the sinner here, right? I mean, we look at our lives today and we say, oh my Lord, who did sin that I am here? Blind. And Jesus said, "Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." This man had not sinned. His parents had not sinned, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. So that will take us quickly to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law, sin was not in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Who had sinned? Is it the man or the parents? Every man had sinned and had come. We've all come short of the glory of God. Simply means we're all born blind. Simply means Jesus wept because he had compassion for the blind. For you and I, who are literally one that were born without a high in the high socket. There was no hope for us to see. There was no hope for us to behold. There was absolutely no hope for us to have a glimpse of what it is, what it means to actually have sight. And what is blindness? Blindness isn't really just the lack of eyes, right? It's in total darkness, I would say. The absence, the abject absence of light, that is darkness. And we would see what Jesus said afterwards. But let's kind of spend some time and look at what he said in here, which says that not this man didn't sin, his parent didn't sin. Because we're all born into this world. I was born into this world. I didn't partake in any sin. I would say literally, I didn't sin. My parents as well were born into the world. It's normal for them to have intercourse and to give birth to me. They didn't sin. We're all just coming into this world, boom, 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 the way we're coming. And it seems like, oh, it is natural process of life. A lion and a lioness will give birth to a cub. Different animals would have mates and they would give birth to their children. We would say this is a natural process of life. Where did sin come in? Right? Where is it that we had the sin? But we must all remember, the scripture says we all sinned, right? But what sort of sin is this? It is sin unto God's glory. It is sin unto the glory of God. The sin unto the works of God. Because it said in here that neither had this man sin, nor his parent, but that the work of God, what is that work of God? That the work of God should be made manifest in me. So that the work of God should be made manifest in me, that is why I can now see myself and say, oh, I was blind. Truly, go out there into the world and ask any man who has not yet seen this light and say, you're born blind. You say, look, what are you talking about? Or you are a sinner. I say, look, I'm not a sinner. Come on, get away from here. Why are you telling me I'm a sinner? I'm better than you. You can't tell them they are sinners. The only reason why you know you are a sinner is because you've seen the light. It's because you've come you've been able to observe and come into the consciousness that truly there is a light. We're all born blind, but not every one of us pursue to have sight. No. Our parent didn't say, oh, let's go and sin. No. We didn't say, well, let me come out as a sinner. No. 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 To that man, if you did not tell that man that there is something called sight, he would imagine and think that everything around him is darkness. That man had no reason to think that there is something called sight. There is something good called sight. He doesn't have, because he never experienced sight before. He doesn't have an understanding of what sight is. He doesn't know what light is. He only understands darkness. And so when you tell such a man, you are a sinner, like, what are you talking about? But now we know that we were born blind. And here it is. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay. This man talking to you was born blind. Not because my parents felt that they were sinners. No, not because of that. Not because I wanted to be a sinner. No, as regard what Jesus said here. It's not because of me or my parents. But we're just born blind. I was born blind so that the glory of the Lord, the works of the Lord might be made manifest. And speaking to you this morning is an example of that work of the Lord. The reason why I'm talking to you and you're blessed by these is that work of the Lord. The reason why you walk around and you preach the gospel of Christ and people see Christ in you is the work of the Lord. That is the reason why you were born blind. And then we were born blind that the works of the Lord might be made manifest. Now let's flip that a little bit and say, what if you were born blind and then now you have sight? But the work of the Lord is not being made manifest. Because after you have sight, you just sat down somewhere, you cross your leg and you waste your life. Nothing to showcase that work of God. We would see down the line what this man did to actually showcase that work of the Lord. We will see. When he had thus spoken, he said, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus was going back to the beginning. That's John 1:1. We can quickly just go there. For us to know that he's going back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of man. As long as in this world is he in this world, he is the light of men. And here he is saying, oh, I am the Word. The spoken word of God. How do I know you are the word of God? Now we'll see. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle. Took clay. He molded it, squeezed it, made it. It reminds me of the beginning, the creation. And what did I call this? I called it the recreation process. What did he do? We were all born blind, but he did a recreation process for us. He spat on the ground. He made clay out of the spittle. And what did he do? He anointed. The word there is he anointed. He didn't say he spread over. No, he said he anointed. Oh my. What are we anointed with? After being born blind, we're anointed with the Spirit of God. We are anointed with the Spirit of God. The things that comes out, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The hospital is a recreation process. But he put it on the clay, he squeezed it, he molded it, he recreated it, and yes, he now anointed us with that. Are you getting me? He anointed us with that. And he anointed the eyes. Oh, we say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. He anointed the eyes of the blind man. He anointed my eyes with the clay. What is the clay? The clay would be a clay without the spittle. It wasn't the clay. The clay is useless, I would say. Without the Spirit of God in the clay called Jesus, in the body of Jesus, without the fullness of God, which is that thing that proceeds out of the mouth of God, in the body of Jesus, it will do us no good. But he had to find a clay, and he put his Spirit into that clay. And that is why that clay became a life, a recreation life, the life of recreation. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That is only when that clay could truly have life. He anointed us with that clay and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. That pool is otherwise known as sent. He sent us forth. Then he sent us forth. He anointed our eyes with high salves and we could now see, and then he sent us forth. Go and be baptized. Calling on the name of the Lord. Go and be baptized. You heard the word of the Lord. He speaks into your heart and he anoints the blindness of your heart, the eyes of your heart. He anoints that with the clay and then he said, go and be baptized. And then you say, no, I'm not going to be baptized. I have received Jesus. I don't want to be baptized. No, he went in the name of the Lord Jesus to pool of Siloam. He didn't say, oh, I am going to the pool of Siloam. And I got in there and he said, oh, the Pharisees sent me. No, the Pharisee never sent him. Jesus Christ sent him. And he got there and said, Jesus sent me to anoint myself, to bath, to wash myself in this pool. And then he went into the pool, got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he came out. And what happened? He washed and he came out seeing. That completes the process. And he came out seeing. And then, is the glory of the Lord all well known yet? Partially, we would say. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, the friends and families, the ones around him, and then they saw me. Because I was blind. I was just like them. I was doing all sorts of things like them. I was just, behaving irrationally, and maybe rational sometimes, because not everyone in the world is irrational. Many of them are rational. Many of them make sense. Many of them are good. Many of them are very ethical. Yes, but yet they are blind because they don't know what the light is. If you have not tasted the light, you would not know what light is. Same way, if you have not tasted bitterness, you will not understand what bitterness is. So, the neighbors saw me, therefore, and they which had seen me before, when I was blind, and said, Is not he that sat and begged? Is it not this guy that was just here, begging, seeking for help? Was it not this guy who was all going to our parties and flocking with us, wanting to take and get our approvals, but now he no longer needs our approvals. Is he not this guy who, if we never tell him that he looks good, he doesn't feel confident, but now he doesn't care about that? Some said, this is he. Others said, no. I can't believe this is not Brother Adebayo. It's not like him. It's just like him. He looks like him, but it's not him. And I said, I am he. And therefore they said unto him, how is it that you now see? How is it that your life is different? How is it that you look different? You sound different. You behave different. You do things differently. How is it possible? And he answered and said unto them, a man that is called Jesus. He didn't say, oh, yeah, I tried to, you know, I don't want to be doing all those things again, so I'm trying to, you know, live like. Mm-mm. He went straight to the point. A man called Jesus. He made clay. He made clay and he laid it over my head. No, he said, he anointed me. He anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, go and be baptized, go and wash. And I went and washed, and I was baptized, and I received my sight. Ah, I could see. I can see now, rather. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Then said they unto him, where is he? Come and show us this Jesus. And he said, I know not. Now, let me tell you why he said, I know not. No one can find Jesus. Only Jesus finds people. Oh, I was searching for Jesus. I found Jesus. Praise the Lord. No. You never found him. If you ask me, I don't know where he is. I don't know. I would only show you where a man called Jesus. He's written in the scriptures. But he has to find you. He has to be the one to look for you and find you and single you out and anoint your eyes, the blind eyes, the empty socket. Anoint it and then it becomes alive. He has to be the one to do that. I know not. And they brought him to the Pharisee. That is, they brought him to the religious leaders. Maybe I was going to redeem, or I was going to one big church. You know, they brought me to the presence of the religious leader, him that for time was blind, and it was Shabbat, the day of rest. It was supposed to be my rest. I was supposed to be at rest. But these people were so angry because I'm at rest. They're angry because I'm not partying. They're angry because I'm not doing all sorts of things the world is doing. They feel, this is a day of rest. Why are you having rest? Why were you delivered on the day of rest? You're supposed to be like us, blind, but now you are free on the day of rest, on Shabbat. And the day of rest was when Jesus anointed his eyes and opened my eyes. Then again, the Pharisee also asked him how he had received the sight. And he said, yes, he anointed my eyes with his spirit. With his spirit. With clay that is mixed with his spittle. He anointed my eyes with that. And I was baptized. And now I see. We will continue here from tomorrow. We're going somewhere. But we thank God. Because it's such a wonderful journey that you and I had walked all along. All day long, all the while. The Lord has brought us thus far. He anointed our eyes with clay, and now we can see. And for that, we are supposed to be grateful. We're supposed to say, thank you, Jesus. So why don't you just this morning spend the day just thanking the name of the Lord, just glorifying his name. Thank him, actually, truly. Spend time to thank him. Not asking for anything else. Just saying, Lord, I thank you for I can see. Lord, I thank you because I was blind, but now I can see. I was born blind. Every man had fallen short of the glory of God. Not because my mother wants to burn me blind. Not because my father wants. No. But because so I can showcase the work of the Lord. Go ahead this day to showcase that work of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your word. Bless our heart, O Lord. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.